नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया। भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवतीर्नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। हरे कृष्ण। सो टुडे विल बी ऑन द ऑस्पिशियस अकेशन ऑफ the appearance day of Lord Vamanadev. We will not be discussing the usual sequential verse that normally comes. Instead, we'll be discussing that defining moment when Lord Vamanadev actually appeared on this earth planet. And we will also discuss the various lessons, seven lessons that we can learn from the appearance of Lord Vamanadev. Subject to time, today is also Srila Jiva Goswami's appearance. So, we will also discuss a few aspects of, significant aspects from, every aspect was significant, but few key aspects subject to time from Srila Jiva Goswami's lifetime. So, the Lord Vamandev's appearance is described in Canto 8. Specifically, the chapter 18, which is called as Lord Vamanadev, the dwarf incarnation. So our focus will be on text number 5, which describes the moment of his appearance. The text 5 goes as follows.
Shronayam Shravana Dvadasyam श्रोणायां श्रवणद्वादस्यां मुहूर्ते भिजिति प्रभु सर्वे नक्षत्र ताराध्यास् चक्रुस्तज्जन्मदक्षिणम् श्रोणायां श्रवणद्वादस्यां मुहूर्ते भिजिति प्रभु सर्वे नक्षत्र ताराध्यास् चक्रुस्तज्जन्म दक्षिणम् श्रोणायां श्रवणद्वादस्यां मुहूर्ते भिजिति प्रभु सर्वे नक्षत्र ताराध्यास् चक्रुस्तज्जन्म दक्षिणम्।
श्रोणायाम, when the moon was situated in the Shravan lunar mansion, Shravana Dvadasyam, on the 12th lunar day of the bright fortnight, in the month of Bhadra, the day famous as द श्रवण द्वादशी मुहूर्ते इन द ऑस्पिशियस मोमेंट अभिजिति इन द फर्स्ट पोर्शन ऑफ द श्रवण लूनार मैंशन नोन एज द अभिजित नक्षत्र एंड इन द अभिजित मुहूर्त अकरिंग एट मिड डे प्रभु द लॉर्ड सर्वे ऑल नक्षत्र स्टार्स तारा प्लैनेट्स आद्या बिगिनिंग विद द सन एंड फॉलोड बाय द अदर प्लैनेट्स चक्रुः मेड तत् जन्म द बर्थडे ऑफ द लॉर्ड दक्षिणम वेरी म्यूनिफिशेंट ट्रांसलेशन ऑन द डे ऑफ श्रवण द्वादशी द 12th डे ऑफ द ब्राइट फोर्टनाइट इन द मंथ ऑफ भाद्र व्हेन द मून केम इनटू द लूनर मैंशन श्रवण एट द ऑस्पिशियस मोमेंट ऑफ अभिजीत द लॉर्ड अपियर्ड इन दिस यूनिवर्स Considering the Lord's appearance very auspicious, all the stars and planets from the sun to Saturn were munificently charitable. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, an expert astrologer, explains the word nakshatra taradhya. The word nakshatra means the stars. The word tara in this context refers to the planets and Adhya means the first one specifically mentioned. Among the planets, the first is Surya, the sun, not the moon. Therefore, according to the Vedic version, the modern astronomer's proposition that the moon is nearest to the earth should not be accepted. The chronological order in which people all over the world refer to the days of the week, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday and Saturday, corresponds to the Vedic order of the planets and thus circumstantiates the Vedic version. Apart from this, when the Lord appeared, the planets and stars became situated very auspiciously, according to astrological calculations, to celebrate the birth of the Lord. ओम अज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाखाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं मुखां करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघायते गिरिं यत्कृपा तमहं वंदे श्री गुरु दिनतारिणं वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे So as we discussed before the verse, we are taking a detour from the usual sequence of verses today. It's a very, very auspicious day. It's the auspicious day of Bhagavan, Lord Vamanadev today. So we will discuss in today's class seven key lessons that we can learn. There are many lessons. There are seven that we would be discussing in today's class. Seven lessons from that we learn from Vamanadev's appearance. Every time the Lord appears, He wants to teach us something, some principles of how to live life. So we will discuss that. And also today is Srila Jiva Goswami's appearance day. So subject to time, then we will try and create some time for it. But we will discuss Srila Jiva Goswami's appearance also in brief, his lifetime. So the story of the context of Vamanadeva's appearance begins with Bali Maharaj being defeated. By Bali Maharaj being defeated by the Devatas in battle, so much so that actually Bali Maharaj loses his life. Now, when Bali Maharaj loses his life, there is a personality there whose name is Shukracharya. Okay. Shukracharya has got a lot of powers, mystic powers. He's a big Tejasvi personality, right? So, Shukracharya, what he does is brings back Bali Maharaj to life. Now, someone, if they give you Jivan Dan, which means if they give you your life back, then obviously you tend to have the greatest amount of gratitude unto such a personality. So, out of the burden of gratitude, Bali Maharaj accepts Shukracharya as his guru. So, now this is very natural. Being obligated to someone is very natural. So he, but at that point in time, out of this obligation, he said that, okay, I will consider you as my spiritual master. Because Bali Maharaj was a very powerful personality. So he was ruling over so many, he had such a vast jurisdiction that he was in charge of. Now, this was from Bali Maharaj's side. The emotions from Bali Maharaj's side was one of gratitude. Now, the emotions from the side of Shukracharya, not really emotions, the desires of Shukracharya. So, Shukracharya saw that, hang on, I have not saved an ordinary personality. He is going, he is a person who is going to have a large jurisdiction. So, I want him to prosper. So, under his prosperity lies my prosperity also. Just like, nowadays companies give what is called as ESOPs. Not nowadays, they started it, no. In India, we started, there was a company where I work for. My company started, was the first in giving stock options to employees. It was unheard of before that. Very generously, okay. Make everyone the stakeholder in the game. So you win, company wins, you also win. In addition to your salary, you also have a stake in the company. So like that. So, Shukracharya realized that I have a stake in the ground here. Okay, so let as Bali Maharaj prospers, I will also prosper. Okay, as his guru, so I will get position as the guru of the most powerful person in the universe. I'll get my remuneration. I'll get my respect. So he thought, okay, now I have rescued Bali Maharaj. Now, but I have to still make him victorious. I have simply saved his life, but how can I ensure it doesn't happen again? So let me make him very powerful through some powers. Let me give him some good advice, consulting advice, so that he becomes very powerful. So he recommends what is called as the Vishwajita Yajna. Do this Vishwajita Yajna. Vishwa means the entire universe. Jita means conquer. So you can conquer the entire universe by doing this Vishwajita Yajna. So that Vishwajita Yajna is consummated now. It's completed. And then what happened? The moment the Vishwajita Yajna is happening from the Agni Kund itself, it is said that brilliant chariots emerged out from the Agni Kund. Celestial weapons came out from the Yajna Kund itself. And then all that paraphernalia is for the consumption of Bali Maharaj. So Bali Maharaj is adorning himself with all those, with that abhushan, what we call as everything that comes out of the Yajna or the paraphernalia that comes out. And he is boarding that chariot, Vishwajita Yajna. And on that chariot, he looks very powerful now. There is a big yajna that has happened. So much blessings. Okay. And then, with all that power, Bali Maharaj is now approaching a place called Amravati. He is approaching there. Why? To attack Indra. Okay. Because obviously he was defeated. Now he wants to defeat Indra. Now, when Indra sees this, Bali Maharaj is approaching. He goes out from a distance. Indra could see Bali Maharaj is coming. So, Indra sees the dazzling form of Bali Maharaj and he realizes this is not the same person now that was defeated earlier. There is some new power this person has. So much tejas this person has, so much of power. Where did he get it from? And Indra is getting scared. Okay. We all know Indra gets insecure from time to time in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, he is getting scared. So, he runs to Brihaspati, his guru, and asks him, what happened? Just few days back we defeated this Bali Maharaj. Now he is looking as if he is going to conquer the whole universe. I can see it with my eyes. Where did he get all this power? Okay. So Brihaspati starts explaining. And in Brihaspati's explanation lies our first lesson from Vamanadeva. Vamandeva has not yet appeared, but still our lesson starts from here. So that is lesson number one. We are discussing the 8th canto, 18th chapter now. But in the where Lord Vamanadeva has appeared today. But if you go 3 chapters before that, in the 15th chapter, in the 28th verse, Brihaspati explains the reason why Bali Maharaj has become very powerful. He says, Janami Magavan Chatror Unnater Asya Karanam Shishyaya Upabhritam Tejo Bhrugubhir Brahma Vadibi. Brihaspati, the spiritual master of the demigods, said, O Indra, I know the cause of your enemies becoming so powerful. The Brahman descendants of Bhrigu Muni, the Brahmana descendants of Bhrigu Muni, being pleased by Bali Maharaj, their disciple endowed him with such extraordinary power. In short, Bali Maharaj has pleased Shukracharya, his guru. So, Prabhupada writes in the purport, Yasya Prasad Bhagavat Prasada. Yasya Prasada Prasada Nagati Kuthobi. Of course, we all understand that Shukracharya is the guru of the Asuras. But Prabhupada still wants to honor the principle. He wants to remind us of the principle that honoring your guru is so very important. So Prabhupada writes that in the purport. Okay. And says a very important statement Prabhupada makes in that purport. Prabhupada says, the blessings of the spiritual master, the blessings of the spiritual master are more powerful. The blessings of the spiritual master are more powerful than one's personal endeavor for such advancement. Very important point Prabhupada mentions. Prabhupada underscores that. Unnati karanam is shishya upabhritam tejo. Unnati means progress. Karanam means cause. The cause of progress is shishyaya upabhritam. When the disciple serves the spiritual master as a menial servant. And by doing that, the disciple gets tejas, tejaha. All this power of Bali Maharaj is coming from there. Now, this is the first lesson that we get about allegiance, faithful allegiance and service to one's spiritual master. There are several examples that are there in the scriptures of where these principles have been underscored. So Hanumanji is one of the first examples. When Hanumanji was tasked with going to Lanka and getting back Sita Devi, so many of his monkey friends and associates asked him, will you be able to do it? My God, crossing Lanka all the way, Ravan is so powerful, Sita Devi, God knows where she is hidden, you are going to fight with all of them. So Hanuman said, easy, there is nothing, I can do all these things very easily. Now on one hand, this may be construed as the pride of Hanumanji. But was it pride of Hanumanji? Did he become proud? Obviously not. Hanumanji is the example of Dasyaras. Where is the question of Hanumanji becoming proud ever, right? So example is given that when an arrow goes to the destination, arrow needs two things. It needs many things. It needs velocity and it needs direction. Both are required. It will go very fast, it will hit the wrong person, gone. And the aim will be correct, but if no powerful person is shooting it, then it will collapse midway. Though the trajectory was correct initially, right? So therefore both are important. Therefore Hanumanji says, I am the arrow of Lord Ramachandra. I am the arrow of Lord Ramachandra, which has never failed. So the controlling power, I am simply being pushed by Lord Ramachandra. And I have full faith in the power of Sri Ramachandra. So therefore I am very confident I will win. So this is an example of his bhakti. So if the lesson is, every act of the disciple, a disciple should know, whatever we achieve is by the blessings of our guru. So we should not take credit for it. That's one. Similar thing is Lord Krishna himself demonstrates. It's getting cold, no? Very boldly I removed my jacket, but I'm really, all of you are sitting with your jackets on. When I entered, it was very warm. Sorry for the interruption. So, in Lord Krishna's pastimes, in the 10th canto, we see that Lord Krishna and Sudama were serving in the institution of Sandipani Muni. So, so when they were serving, Sandipani Muni gave a task to them for the service of Guru Mata. So they went out, and all of us know that there was rain, like today's weather, something like that, worse than that, 10 times worse than that, right? So there was incessant weather there, and there were severe challenges for them. But still, Lord Krishna and Sudama persisted in their service and delivered whatever their Guru Maharaj asked of them. So, Sandipani Muni gave a blessing to Lord Krishna at that time, saying that whatever vidya that I have given you, I bless you that you will never forget it. With time will never make you forget your vidya. And it will come to you, or any time that you want this vidya to come to you, then it will come to you. So, whether it is abilities, as in the case of Hanuman, or whether it is remembrance of knowledge, as in the case of Lord Krishna here, it is the spiritual master's blessings that give us. So, that these are some lessons, examples of that lesson. One more is Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his lifetime, in his life. It is mentioned by Bhakti Vikas Swami in his book Bhaktisiddhanta Vani Vaibhav. I think it's a red color book, if I remember. So, in that book, it is mentioned that someone, when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami was traveling in a boat, so someone approached him and said that your guru is Bhajanandi. He is Babaji. Your guru is Bhajanandi. But you are forcefully going around and preaching. We have never seen your guru doing all these things. But where are you? You know, how come you are able to preach so forcefully? So he says, yes, my guru is a Bhajanandi. But he pointed to the boat when it was traveling. It was making a sound. An engine was making a sound. Like that. Because when the boat travels, all of us know, the engine makes some sound. Especially in India, the extra sound comes. When you travel in these boats. So he says that this engine is making so much of noise and sound, and it's making the entire boat move. But behind its engine is a battery, which is not seen at all by anyone, which doesn't make any noise. Actually, that battery is the powerhouse which gives power to the engine. So similarly, he says, I am like the engine who is empowered by the blessings which come from the battery, which is Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Shishyaya Upabhritam Tejo. Again, same point that you know, we are discussing, which Brihaspati told to Bali Maharaj. One of the acharyas in our movement, Prabhupada's disciples, he made a statement recently that life becomes very exciting when we put ourselves in Guru's hands. Life becomes very exciting. Otherwise, we are just driven by the three modes of material nature, our karma. So life is very exciting. And he quoted the example of His Grace Shyamasundar Prabhu and Malati Mataji. He said that both of them were sent by Prabhupada. They were sent to establish preaching mission of Srila Prabhupada. When they went, they didn't have any income. Okay, so they did not even know, once they were wandering on the streets, and they didn't know where how to pay their rent. So it is said that from nowhere, dollar bills started flying. From nowhere. And then it came to them from somewhere. And then when they counted the dollar bills, it was exactly equal to the rent that they had to pay. Now this is too far out to be called as a mere coincidence. If you tell outside people, say, come on. In Hindi, you say, bahut jyada ho gaya abhi. Too much you are talking now, right? But this is the blessings of Guru. Now, another example of the power which comes to a disciple through a Guru is given through the example of a rat, which I heard in one of the lectures. There were three rats, and all three rats were discussing amongst each other their powers. One rat was saying, you know what I achieved? My power is that I have consumed tons of rat poison and I can still survive after consuming all this. Another, and then I can still enjoy after consuming all this. I can do whatever I want, right? The other rat said that you are enjoying and consuming, but I know how to escape the rat trap. Okay, I can chew the rat trap and escape out of the rat trap. I have that ability. And the third rat came and said, your ability is nothing in front of me because I have learnt how to battle the cat. Okay. So, I have learnt how to deal with the external environment. The biggest threat is a cat or a rat. Right. So, this example is given to distinguish between people who have the power to enjoy material sense gratification. Still, they say that I am okay, miseries will come, but I have developed the power to go through all these miseries. That's the first rat. Second rat is the people who are Muktivadis, who say that I know the power of escaping this rat trap. I have sorted it out. And the third is the devotees. By dint of their service to their guru and on the strength of the blessings of their guru, with full faith in the blessings of the guru, the devotee says that I am able to fight Maya only because of the blessings of my spiritual master. Of course, a devotee is not like a rat boasting. So, the analogy is just to be taken the way it has to be. So, because the soul is 1/10,000 the tip of a hair, and Maya is so powerful. Daivi hecha gudamai mama maya duratyaya. Maam eva ye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. So, but by blessings of guru, even the insignificant spirit soul is able to challenge Maya. Now here we see that Bali Maharaj actually Bali Maharaj's power in real actual practice in front of the Devata's power, it was nothing. But just the fact that he has pleased this Guru. Whereas what Indra did? Indra did exactly the opposite. Indra did Guru Aparad. And Durvasa Muni was giving a garland to Indra. Okay. So what happened? He should have worn that garland, and normally what do we do? We put Jai, we do that. If we just give me a garland, I throw it to an elephant, and then elephant is trampling, how will you feel? What is this man? No respect for me, no respect for the garland, right? And therefore Indra had to pay. So when Guru Aparad is done, even all the powers that, no matter who we are, how much powerful we are, even an insignificant enemy will become very formidable. And this point His Grace Gurijan Prabhu mentioned in one of the retreats. Gurijan Prabhu sometimes gives gifts at the end of the retreats. Okay, so once he gave a gift, I still have it. In fact, he gave me two. I gave one to another devotee. It has got the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You remember? He had got a photograph of someone with a cloth there. Yeah. So, he gave that. And at that time when he was giving, Gurijan Prabhu quoted from the Adi Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita 14.1. He said, Kathanchana smriter yasmin dushkaram sukaram bhavet vishmrite viparitam syat shri chaitanyam namamitam. When we meditate on the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even the most difficult things in life become very easy. And when we do not meditate, even the most insignificant things can become very, can look insurmountable to us. So, with saying that, he gave pictures to many people, saying that when you are in trouble, meditate on the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. So, I keep it in my office every day, the calendar, because office is the most dangerous place for me. Of course, every moment is dangerous, but I said, okay, Lord, please give me the abilities to go through today, every morning prayer to the lotus feet, and let me not do anything stupid. Okay. So, so by praying like that, then it gives tremendous protection to a devotee. So now, Indra is very scared because he sees Bali Maharaj is approaching now on the chariot, having done that yagya, Vishwajita yagya. So when he heard this from Brihaspati, that how Bali Maharaj has developed all this power, he was further was explained to him was that Bali Maharaj is also Brihaspati. Okay, let me put it this way: Brihaspati is like Narad Muni in one sense. All these people have special abilities. Okay, they are what they call as Trikala Yagi. Okay, they know what's going to happen in the, they know past, present, future, everything. So what Brihaspati is assuring Bali Maharaj, Brihaspati is assuring Indra, is that you don't feel so scared about Bali Maharaj. No, right now he is seeming so powerful to you. It looks as if you are finished in life. But trust me, in future, even this person is going to offend the spiritual master. And when he offends the spiritual master, whatever he is going to gain, he will lose. And that is the context of Vamanadeva's appearance. So, in the morning also, when we talk about the offenses, the third offense is disobeying the instructions of the spiritual master. So that point is hammered for us every other day. So Brihaspati is giving him this verse. Brihaspati says, Esha vipra balodarka samprati urjita vikramaha tejam eva apamanena shanu bandho vinakshati. Vinakshati means everything will be destroyed. Because of what? Because of apamanena. Apaman means offense. He will also do that. What you did, he is also going to do. Of course, the nature of that offense is still different between what Indra did. Indra's offense was out of arrogance. But Bali Maharaj, but still the principle is still upheld. And that's what we have to see. The principle of displeasing spiritual master is still upheld here. So, Bali Maharaj became powerful because of the benedictions given to him by the Brahmanas, but later an insult to his own spiritual master not only vanquished Bali Maharaj, but also his associates. And this is being foreboded by Brihaspati. Now, this point is also seen in Ramayana. In Mahabharata, when Parashuramji, we saw that serial, we were reminded of that, the Mahabharata new serial which has come, very nice, I think it came in 2014 or something. So Karna is learning under Parashuramji all the vidyas, martial arts. Okay. Now once when Parashuramji, and Karna becomes very dear to Parashuram, and Karna is resting, Parashuramji is resting on Karna's lap. Okay. And what happens is that Karna is sitting and a scorpion comes and bites Karna. Now, ordinarily what will happen when a scorpion bites, you know how it is, right? It's the most, one of the most painful situations in life. So ordinarily he should have got up and ran away. Put Parashuram and then, you know, he should have been shouting, right, in pain. But Karna just sat there. He didn't want to disturb the sleep of Parashuram. Okay. Now ordinarily what should happen? Parashuram should wake up and then he should bless, you know, Karna, saying that I am very pleased with you. Okay. But what had happened was, when Parashuram woke up, he saw that he was bleeding and he saw that a scorpion has bit. So he asked Karna, how come you did not, why did you not wake me up? Karna said, no, because you were resting, so I tolerated the pain. And Parashuram realizes that, tells him that you cannot be a Brahman. You have to be a Kshatriya. Only then you can tolerate this pain. And then Parashuram finds out, because Karna had cheated his guru, that I am a Brahman, right? So therefore he gets cursed by Parashuram, that whatever vidya that I have taught you, at the time you most need it, it will not come to your rescue. And then we see what happens later on. So this is the so whatever powers we acquire, like Bali Maharaj acquired this power, he also lost all this when he offended Shukracharya later. We'll come to that stage. Saubari Muni also offended Garuda. When Saubari Muni, he thought that he was the protector of the fish. He assumed a role which he was not given. Okay, so he wanted to meditate under the water. He said, I'm going to be here and I'm going to save all this fish from Garuda, because Garuda's food is that. The natural food of Garuda is to eat fish. So Saubari Muni was saying, no, as long as I'm here, you cannot enter here. So he offended Garuda. So what happened? Saubari Muni actually thought that he was protecting the fish, but then an insignificant act of two fishes mating led to the fall of Saubari Muni himself. When you go to an aquarium, we don't get sex desires when we go to an aquarium, right? But Saubari Muni, you know, got that. Which means an insignificant event in our ecosystem can impact us more unusually when we do offenses to the spiritual master. And today is Jiva Goswami's appearance day. So Shruti Dharma Prabhu, Prabhupada's disciple, quoted Jiva Goswami as saying that, this is very heavy. Okay. Jiva Goswami says that if we do inattentive chanting, if any one of us have the problem of inattentive chanting, you can be sure that you have made 100 offenses to devotees to come to the platform of inattentive chanting. And then he says that when you do 1,000 offenses to devotees, then you will break the four regulative principles also. And when you do 10,000 offenses to devotees, one stops chanting itself. Okay. So therefore, and this is Jiva Goswami's appearance, very apt today to remember this instruction. Even if you don't remember anything else about Jiva Goswami, this is important, right? What happened? Say again, same thing. Okay. Now, okay. So 100 offenses if we do to devotees, we get inattentive chanting. 1000 offenses, we break the four regulative principles, and 10,000 offenses, we will stop chanting only. So you have to be so careful. When I was hearing this, I thought, my God, at least I know I have done 100 offenses. And we should not approach the 1000, otherwise finished. Then gone. Regulative principles also gone means everything is gone. After that, it very fast we will go to 10,000. It's like in derivatives, you say, no, the slope is now exponentially it goes up. Right? So very fast, speedily we will reach, you know, that stage. So, Bali Maharaj now, of course, till now Bali Maharaj has not done any offense. All he has done is, he has done the Vishwajita Yajna. So he, Indra is scared, but Bali Maharaj goes and finishes it. Okay. He conquers the heavenly abode. Such ruination to the devatas that all of them have to hide, go in disguise. They all have to travel incognito, all the devatas, including Indra. Right? They can't show their face anywhere. You know? Like COVID mask, they have to put masks and roam around. Like that. So all their powers are lost. Now, when all their powers are lost, who is the most impacted now? Aditi. She is the most impacted person. Why? Most impacted by a child's problem is the mother of the child. Right? So when Aditi sees that all her, you know, children are impacted, she is the most concerned now. She wants to do something. My goodness, look at my children, you know. They were living in such positions. Now where have they come to? No, I can't even, you know, I don't even, you know, they are all traveling incognito here and there. Like that. So therefore she goes to her husband Kashyapa Muni and tells him, you have to do something about it. And Kashyapa Muni has just come out of his meditation, and she approaches him, says that, please tell me some upaya for this, tell me some solution. So Kashyapa Muni now is a highly self-realized soul. He is already detached personality. Hridaya Granthi Abhedanam, we see that, Kardama Muni, Kashyapa Muni, we see that all these people are exalted personalities. Okay, they are not as attached to, you know, home and hearth. But the lady in the house, in this case, Aditi, she is still having all those, my sons, my children, what will happen to them, etc. Whereas Kashyapa Muni is able to see he knows that material existence is going to be like that. So, Sita Ushna Sukha Dukadaha, he is already at that stage. So, he says, don't worry about all this is, you know, initially tries to tell her science of self-realization. But Aditi is a mother. When the child is in danger, no SSR lectures are going to help at that point in time, right? So she says, no, I hear all that, but my dear children, what about them? So Kashyap Muni says, okay, no problem. I will tell you something now. Since you are so concerned, then I will give you another lesson. He says that you will have to pacify Lord Krishna for this, okay? Because when you take him, when he is pleased with you, then he can change any environment, he can alter any ecosystem. Because he is Mayadhyakshena Prakriti. He runs everything. So he tells, he gives her instructions on how to do what is called as Payavrita. Payavrita. This austerity to please the Lord. So herein comes lesson 2. Lesson 1 we saw. Lesson 2 is, a spiritual master never instructs a disciple beyond the level of the disciple to take it. So he realizes he can't give that instruction to her to be detached. So then, now, go and seek protection then for your children by pleasing. So he gives next level of instruction. But it's a good instruction. Akama sarva kamava moksha kama udaridhi tivrena bhakti yogena yajyata purusham param. Any desires, go to Lord Krishna. Okay. At least he gives that second level of instruction. Now, this we see even in Prabhupada Charitra. When Tamal Krishna Maharaj was, Goswami Maharaj was, there were some issues with the Radha Damodar Sankirtan party. So he went to Prabhupada to discuss this. So frustrated was Tamal Krishna Maharaj at that time with the issues that were going on, that when even before Prabhupada could give a solution, Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, I may as well go to China, he said. And China was more of a metaphorical statement than a literal statement made by Tamal Krishna Maharaj. So Srila Prabhupada was very silent on that day. He heard it. And next day morning after Mangalarti, Prabhupada came and said, okay, go to China. He said, go to China. And when Prabhupada said that, it is mentioned that Tamal Krishna Maharaj protested with Prabhupada. Prabhupada, I didn't mean it that way. I meant in a different way. I said, China. You know, that's what I meant. Okay. And then Ramakrishna Maharaj told Prabhupada, but who will take care of the Radha Damodar Sankirtan party? And Prabhupada became very grave, and Prabhupada told him, I have given you that service and now I am taking it back from you. You go to China. You have to go now. So this was a very heavy blow for Tamal Krishna Maharaj at that time. But Tamal Krishna Maharaj, being the exalted personality that he is, or he was, when he did his pastimes here, so he said that, okay, fine, I am not happy, but if it still pleases my spiritual master, I will do it. And today, because of that sacrifice of that service of Tamal Krishna Maharaj, we see how Krishna consciousness is flourishing in China. So somebody has to, you know, take those pains. So this is lesson number 2. Then lesson number 3 is, a disciple is also honest to let the spiritual master know about his concerns. But if the guru wants, then still the disciple will do it anyway. So this is this we see from Tamal Krishna Maharaj's pastime, that is lesson 3. Even in Aditi's life, she followed this lesson 3. She accepted at least the second instruction. So what she actually did this payavrata. She did that. She accepted Kardama Muni's instructions. And what is important is, she understood it fully, the instructions of the spiritual master. Not that, you know, very superficial understanding, did some payavrata, you know, said that, oh, you can't follow all these things, let's be practical. She didn't put practicality into it. She literally did everything that Kashyapa Muni advised her. Literally everything she did. Perfect payavrata. With utmost sincerity. Not following blindly something. So, I heard a joke in one of the classes on following blindly the instructions. Okay. So someone went to a doctor. This person was obese. Okay, overweight. So went to the doctor and said that I have put so much weight. Okay, so I want to lose some weight. So the doctor said, no problem, simple solution. For 8 days, you run 30 kilometers every day. Okay, for 8 days. Okay, then you will be alright. So after 8 days, the person called the doctor and said that, you know, doctor. So the doctor realized he was somewhere else. So he said, you know, yeah, what happened? He said, doctor, yeah, I'm following your rule. And the doctor said, yeah, you lost weight or no? He said, yeah, yeah, I have lost weight, but I'm 240 kilometers away from my home. Because he kept on running. Okay, 8 multiplied by 30. Right? So this means that the spiritual master's instructions were followed but not completely understood. So Aditi understood this with intelligence and with firm faith. And the result of that Aditi's worship of Payavrata is what is today's verse. Shronayam Shravana Dvadasyam Muhurte Abhijiti Prabhu Sarve Nakshatra Taradhyas Chakrushtat Janma Dakshinam. And today is that Dvadashi, the appearance day of Lord Vamanadev. So Lord Vamanadev appeared today. It is said that when Lord Vamanadev appeared, and immediately on his appearance, he took the form of a dwarf. It is said that when Lord Vamanadev appeared, Gopalanish Prabhu was giving the Janmashtami class. We were mentioning that when the Lord appears, all the planets align. It's not that, you know, Lord is born at an auspicious time. It's not like that. The planets are his servants. They align to create auspiciousness. So wherever Lord is there, there has to be auspiciousness. So the incongruities are addressed in the material ecosystem level to make it conducive for the Lord to appear. So here also the same thing happened. All the planetary systems aligned, you know, very favorably. There were kettle drums, the devatas were showering flowers, there was music going on, celebration everywhere was going on. And in that situation, very favorable, auspicious thing, then Vamanadev appeared. It is said that Vamanadev received so many gifts from so many devatas. The sun god gave him the Gayatri mantra. Brihaspati gave him the thread, sacred thread. Kashyapa Muni gave him the straw belt. Bhumi Devi, earth, gave him deer skin. The moon god gave him the Brahmachari danda. The heavenly deities, the deity presiding over the heavenly planets, gave him umbrella. Okay. Aditi gave him a cowpin cloth. Then the seven sages gave him the Kusha grass. Goddess Saraswati gave him a Shiva Rudraksha to wear. Kuvera gave him a pot for begging alms. Okay. See that situation. Kuvera is giving him begging pot. how much can it get? How much more? So whenever the Lord comes, there's a lot of drama that is happening in every single aspect of his. Okay. Kuvera gave him begging pot. Bhagavati Devi gives him his first alms. Bhagavati Devi is the wife of Lord Shiva. She gave him the first alms. Okay. And if we see the photo in Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Vamanaja's photograph is wearing all this, you know, with all that umbrella, kamandal, everything is. You know. And then what happens? Vamanadev decked with all this now. He is wearing all these things. And then Lord Vamanadev comes to the banks of the Narmada. Why he comes there? Because he knows that Shukracharya has advised his disciple to perform an Ashwamedha Yajna there. Okay. So Vamanadev says, okay, this is the time. I should go there to the Yajna Sthal, where the Yajna is being performed, where Bali is performing this. Now, what is the intent of the Lord in going to the Yajna? Simple. To fulfill Aditi's desire and to restore the wealth of the demigods. Okay. This is his desire. So, he goes with that. He approaches the banks. Now, as he approaches, okay, now this is not mentioned in our Srimad Bhagavatam, but this is commented by a great acharya in the Sri Sampradaya. His name is Vedanta Deshikan. Vedanta Deshikan, there is a treatise by Vedanta Deshikan where it's called as Yadava Abhyudayam. In that particular treatise, Vedanta Deshikan writes that as he was approaching, in Lord Vamanadev's mind, there came a dilemma. Okay. He says, hang on, if I go just like that now in front of Bali Maharaj, who is residing on his chest, on the right side of his chest resides Lakshmi Devi. Right? And Lakshmi Devi is the goddess who gives opulence. In Hindi we say, Jispe bhi Lakshmi ka nazar pad gaya. In on whoever Lakshmi ji casts her eyes on, that person becomes wealthy. So he says, when I am approaching Bali to take away all his opulence, Lakshmi ji is here, Srivatsa is there and Lakshmi is here. So Lakshmi ji will directly give darshan to Bali. So how can I, you know, take away all his opulence? Is it not contradictory? Right? So he is thinking like that. So what he does is, normally the Uttariya is worn from the left to the right. So he takes his Uttariya and wears it reverse way, from the right to the left, so that he covers Lakshmi ji. Okay, so the Lord is thinking like that and he is changing that Uttariya. Now, if the father is very particular about, you know, ensuring the defeat of someone, Lakshmi Devi is Tayar. Tayar means what? Mother. Mother is a little bit more affectionate. Lakshmi is saying, why is my husband doing all these tricks right now? Changing his Uttariya and suddenly, you know, hiding me, you know, like that. So Lakshmiji, what she does is, as he approaches Bali Maharaj, it is said that Lakshmiji peeps out of that. And when she peeps out, she gives darshan to Bali Maharaj. And it is said that although Bali Maharaj lost everything, he got Sutala Lok, which is much more opulent than what he had now. You know, even after that Ashwamedha Yajna, he wouldn't have got that much of opulence, which he got later. So this was because of Lakshmi Devi's, you know, nazar, eyes on him, like that. So, here comes lesson 4 from Vamanadev's pastimes, that Lakshmi, now who is Lakshmi Ji? Lakshmi Ji is Alladini Shakti. And who is Alladini Shakti? Who is the origin of Alladini Shakti? Srimati Radharani. So, this is the mercy of Radharani. Radharani can change everything, anything that Krishna wants to do. Okay. So that is why Radhashtami is so very special. Pleasing Radharani, you have to please Krishna if Radharani is pleased. There is no way that Radharani is pleased and Krishna is not pleased. It cannot happen. Right? So, Srimati Radharani is Alladini Shakti. And as Shakti Tattva, as mother, mother has three roles to play. Or mother, consort, lady has so many roles. Right? She has three roles to play. The first is responsibility to please the husband, Lord Vishnu. So, she has to ensure that, you know, Bali's opulence is taken away also. That is one. Then second is to mediate between father and son. At home you will see, when there is a fight happening between father and son, mother intervenes. Right? Or father and daughter, mother will intervene there. And the third responsibility is to teach by personal example. Like Lakshmi Devi teaches all of us by her personal example of massaging Savai Mana Krishna Padara Vindayo, massaging the lotus feet of Mahavishnu. So it is said that even if the father is very intense, the mother is very kind. So approach the mother when you are in trouble with the father. Like that. Okay. So therefore, representatives of Srimati Radharani and Lakshmiji, many of these representatives of Srimati Radharani, they have come in the Gaudiya Vaishnava lineage as our spiritual masters in the form of Manjaris, in the form of Sakhis, Swarup Damodar Goswami and Ramananda Rai. Sakhis have come. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Manjaris, they have also come. So the servants of Srimati Radharani who carry her power have come as gurus. So the power of a guru again is underscored. That is the lesson 4. That they come to save us. Even if we get in trouble with the Lord, guru and devotees will come and save us. So Kala Krishna Das, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we all know that he was rejected by Lord Chaitanya. But he was reinstated. Why? Only because of the mercy of the Vaishnavas, the recommendations of the Vaishnavas. So even if the Lord is very heavy, the devotees are very compassionate. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says in Madhurya Kadambini that the Lord is impartial, but devotees make the impartial Lord partial. Devotees say, okay, fellow is a rascal, but he is attempted to chant 16 rounds, follow 4 regulative principles. Okay, so please take him. Like that. It's a recommendation of a devotee. So this is our 4th lesson from this. So now, Bali Maharaj has seen Vamanadev. Bali Maharaj is offering a... Bali Maharaj is so attracted by Vamanadev. So beautiful. Brilliant child. Small dwarf-like person carrying all these things. Umbrella, like that. Brahmana. So he is captivated. He can't. All his love is coming out of his heart. Okay. That is why he says, to hell with my spiritual master's instructions. Because Krishna is what? Krishna, Sri Krishna Akarshan. Krishna attracts even Cupid. So, Bali Maharaj calls him, please come and sit here in this arena. All Ashwamedha Yagya is now on the side. Every focus is on Vamanadev, on his beauty. He gives him a seat. He washes his feet and sprinkles the water on his head. He washes Vamanadev's feet and sprinkles the water on his head. So, Sukadeva Goswami is explaining here to Parikshit Maharaj that Bali Maharaj, when he was doing that, why was he doing that? He was remembering Lord Shiva as Gangadhar. Gangadhar means what? Lord Shiva. Ganga is the water which has washed the feet of Mahavishnu. A Karanadakshaya ocean is what is Ganga Devi. From there it trickles down, right? Which Vamanadeva will also do now eventually. Of course, Bhagavatam is not in a sequence. In different universes this is happening. So, he knows that this Ganga Jal has been taken by Lord Shivji on his head. So, he remembers that instruction of that Mahajan, Lord Shiva, who has taken on his head. So, he said, I must also take on the head. Because Shukracharya is knowing that this person is not an ordinary person. He is Vishnu. But, though Bali Maharaj may not have known it at that point in time, Bali Maharaj is simply following the instructions of a Mahajan to take the water which has washed the feet of exalted personalities on his head. So Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport that because Bali Maharaj followed the instructions and practices of a Mahajan, he became a Mahajan. What is that verse? Balir Vayasakir Vayam. In the Mahajanas, it is described. So he himself became a Mahajan. So this is lesson number 5. What is lesson number 5? Mahajano yena gathasapanta. So we have to follow the footsteps of Mahajan. The whole premise of moving from Vaidhi Bhakti to Raga Anuga Bhakti. Raga Anuga means that we have to follow and we have to choose a particular personality who has developed Ragatmika, spontaneous attraction for the Lord, and we follow simply in the footsteps of that particular devotee. Srila Prabhupada was asked, you said that we have to follow a Vrajavasi. Who is that Vrajavasi? Is it you? And Prabhupada said, yes, it is me. Just follow me. So, for us this is, we are very fortunate that our leader is a Mahajan. So, Someone asked Srila Prabhupada once. He was glorifying Prabhupada. He said, Prabhupada, you are the 13th Mahajan. And Prabhupada looked at him and said, and you are the 14th. You speak as I speak, and you do as I do, and you will also become Mahajan. So which means what? That Prabhupada wanted all of us to become Mahajanas. I know it sounds ridiculous. I mean, given our status. But Prabhupada's instruction was correct. Right? We may not become Mahajanas. That is different. But then the point is that we have to have faith that if we actually follow what Srila Prabhupada says, it is not rocket science to become a Mahajan. Problem is our rascal mind. Okay. That is the problem. So lesson number 5 is that we can, you know, become Mahajanas by Mahajano Yena Gathasa Panthaha. Now, what happens? Vamanadeva is now worshipped and all that, and he says, ask and thou shall get. He says, what do you want? You have to ask me some benediction. So Vamanadeva asks him, I just want 3 steps of land. Okay. And then Balimara says, hang on, you can't go to Bill Gates and ask him for $10, right? Ask something big from me. You know, I'm capable of giving you, you know, much, much more. I can give you islands, dvipas. No, why? What 3 steps of land do you want? Shukracharya steps in. Okay. Shukracharya tells him that, look, don't give him anything. This is Vishnu, he will take away everything from you. Okay. But Bali Maharaj, what he does? He says, no. Now I have taken an oath. Okay. And therefore, now I am doing that. What is that? In Achamanam, you have to take that oath, in that pot. So I am going to take an oath. If a Brahmana comes, I have to give. So I am going to give. Shukracharya tells him, for disobeying my order, I curse you that you will go to hell. Just imagine, spiritual master curses like this. But Bali Maharaj, what is that? Swarga apagarga narakeshu api tulyarta darshan. Narayana parasarve na kutaschana vibhyat. Doesn't kill. It's okay, fine. Okay, so what? Okay, I'll go. So he says, no, I'm anyway going to give. So he starts doing that achaman before the vow, and he starts giving charity through the sprouted pot. That is how the Vedic way is to give charity through that. Tarpayami or something like that. You know, give charity like that. Now it is said that the water should not flow out of the pot. If the water comes out of the pot, what happens? That means the promise is done. So what Shukracharya, obviously he has got mystic powers. So Shukracharya becomes very small and he enters and blocks the whole of that water pot. And what happens? Vamanadeva looks at that water pot. He takes a pusagras and pierces the hole. It pierces Shukracharya's eye. Therefore it is said Shukracharya is blind in one eye. Like that. Okay. And then the Lord Vishnu accepts that 3 steps of land. And Bali Maharaj also says, okay, I will give you that. And in that process, what happens? Because of paucity of time, he takes over all the 3 worlds with his 2 steps. And then Bali Maharaj says, now what about, I have nothing to give you except myself. That is the last principle of Navavidha Bhakti, which is called as Atma Nivedanam. Bali Maharaj is considered as the epitome of that, example of that. Just like, you know, for Shravanam, it is Parikshit Maharaj. Like that. For Kirtanam, it is Sukadeva Goswami. For Atma Nivedanam, it is Bali Maharaj. So, Lord Vishnu, though our Shukracharya cursed him to go to hell, now how does Vishnu transform that curse? Lord Vishnu says, yes, you will go to the subterranean heavenly planets, which is like Patala Loka, Sutala Loka. So you will go there, and but I will come with you as your Dwarpal. I will be always, you will never be bereft of my association. And then there will be much more opulence for you there than what you are going to get from this Ashwamedha Yajna. Much more opulence, lot of power, right? On top of that, my association. And then the third one is the greatest blessing. Lord Vishnu, Amaradev tells him that even if you are amongst asuras, because who will be there in Patara Loka, Sutala Loka, asuras, right? Even if you go there, I bless you that you will never be affected by their association. And you will always remain my devotee. Now just imagine if all of us get this blessing. Okay. As a grihastha, many grihasthas are worried about money. So suppose Vishnu comes and says, don't worry about money, I'll give you a lot of opulence. Second, but Lord, what about, will I lose you in the pursuit of money? No, I will also be there. Don't worry. I'll be there outside your house only, all the time. And then, Lord, will I get proud? Okay, but I have to go to office also, no? I'm dealing with, material energy, so many people, things I'm dealing with. Don't worry, you will never get contaminated. What a blessing this is. You're sealed from all sides now. There's nothing to worry. So this is the blessing Vamandev gave to Bali Maharaj. Right? Protected from all sides. 100% guarantee. Right? So, opulence, personal association plus immunity from Maya. All the three. So that is the glory of this. So finally, Lord Vamanadev, after all this pastime, what happens? Bali Maharaj is okay, but Shukracharya is a little grumpy. So, Lord Vamanadev goes to tease Shukracharya. He goes and teases him. He tells Shukracharya, Shukracharya, are there any mistakes that have happened in this yajna? Because after a yajna, Shukracharya himself asked Bali Maharaj to conduct an yajna. So he obeyed all the instructions, they did this yajna. But then you are cursing your disciple to go to hell. Are there any mistakes that have happened? So he is taunting Shukracharya, Vamandev. Okay. And then, what was the fault here? And then Shukracharya chants a very beautiful verse. This is one of my favorite verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, Mantratas tantratas chidram, desha kala arha vastutah, sarvam karoti nishchidram, anukirtanam dava. He says, the mantra may not have been completed in this yajna. The paraphernalia may have not been perfect in this yajna. Mantratas tantratas chidram, desha kala arha vastutah, even if the place of worship is not good, may not have been good, okay? Because place of worship, of course, place of worship was good only in one sense, but place also has got to do with lot of people's consciousness around, okay? And not everyone had a pure consciousness over there in that arena of ashram in the India. So, desha kala arha, the time may not be good, desha kala arha vastuta, the paraphernalia, everything may be impure, but sarvam karoti nishchitram, despite all imperfections in an yajna, anukirtanam dava, your sankirtan, kirtan has happened here. Right? And therefore, everything is perfect in this yajna. So, there is no anomaly in this, in the outcome of this yajna. It is a perfect yajna. Srila Prabhupada also exemplified this. What Prabhupada did in the opening of the Vrindavan temple, Prabhupada called all the Smartha Brahmanas. They were all doing all their yajnas. Om Shanti, Om and all that. Prabhupada did all that. But after that, Prabhupada said, all this is fine. But now the main thing starts, which is your kirtan. Because in Kali Yuga, you may not find qualified brahmanas. Okay? Ghee will be adulterated. Okay? They will put water in the ghee in water, and everything is mixed here and there. Okay? So you don't know whether what you are offering is pure or not. The time may be, sometimes the timing may go wrong. Right? Even sometimes the departure of a person may not be at an inauspicious time. What can we do? Right? So therefore, everything, sarvam karoti nishchidram anukirtanam tava, everything is perfect when sankirtan is done. So this is a beautiful verse. Okay. So, now Dhruva Maharaj, when he was also boarding the airplane, okay, Nanda and Sunanda were there at that time. Nanda and Sunanda, when Dhruva Maharaj saw them that they have come to take him, he forgot all the upacharas. But still what he remembered to do, chant the name of the Lord. And that's why everything was pure. Now, even in India, you will find that even the Smartha Brahmanas chant, Kayena Vacha Manase Indri Erva. Even they are Smartha Brahmanas, but ultimately what they will say? Karomi Yastam Sakalam Parasmai Narayan Samarpayami. So, even the Smartha Brahmanas knows that ultimately Narayan, if you dedicate all this to Narayana, it is perfect. So, therefore, Srila Prabhupada advised us, what to do? Forget everything. Just chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So today is Lord Vamanadev's appearance day. Lord Vamanadev appearance day ki?
Jai.
So this is how Lord Vamanadev appeared. Now very briefly, some few aspects of Srila Jiva Goswami's life, appearance. So as we said that many of Lord Radharani's associates have come down, many Manjaris have come down. So Srupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and then Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami was the youngest out of them. Today is his appearance day. So it is said that Jiva Goswami appeared as the son of Sri Vallabha and the nephew of Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. Because this family was engaged in the service of Nawab Hussain Shah, they were very wealthy. The Nawab used to give lot of gifts to them. So he was born in a very opulent family. Now when he was very small, Jiva Goswami, Lord Chaitanya came to a place called Rama Keli. When Lord Chaitanya came to Rama Keli, that is the time that Jiva Goswami had darshan of Lord Chaitanya as a baby. As a baby, Jiva Goswami was blessed with the darshan of his worshipable Lord, Lord Chaitanya. So, the moment Lord Chaitanya saw Jiva Goswami, Lord Chaitanya indicated that this is not an ordinary personality. This person will become a great future scholar in the Gaudiya Sampradaya. Now, though Jiva Goswami was a child, he was so attracted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Lord meditating on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus form was his constant meditation. It never wavered since childhood for him. Constantly was meditating on that form. So later on, when his fathers and uncles, uncles means who? Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. You know, when they renounced the family in order to be with Lord Chaitanya, Srila Jiva Goswami was left alone with his mother in the palace where they were living. So it is mentioned that so attached was Jiva Goswami to Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami and his father, because they were Vaishnavas, exalted Vaishnavas, that he fell unconscious. He could not bear their separation. A little older when he became, then Srila Jiva Goswami took up the worship of the deities of Sri Sri Rama and Krishna, Rama Krishna. He said it will carefully, you know, decorate these deities and offer bhoga and arati to them, serving them with full attention. It is said that whenever he played games, his games were always almost connected with Lord Krishna's pastimes. He started studying under a local pandit, and very soon he became very proficient in grammar, poetry and rhetoric. His teachers made a special note that this is an extraordinary student with extraordinary capabilities. One day, his father suddenly passed away on the banks of the Ganga, Ganges. And Jiva Goswami was completely unsettled in his life. To the point he was disconsolate. No amount of consolation could mitigate his sorrow. And he saw the futility of family life when that happened. So, he set out with Navadvip, with a group of pilgrims, to have darshan of Lord Nityananda. Okay. Now, along with Lord Nityananda, they toured the 9 islands in Navadvip. Then, upon the order of Lord Nityananda, that was a very key instruction Lord Nityananda gave. He set out for Kashi or Varanasi. He set out there. And there, he met his guru, under who, his Vedanta guru, whose name was Madhusudan Vachaspati. So he met him and studied Vedanta under him. Who was Madhusudan Vachaspati? He was a disciple of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So Jiva Goswami studied under Madhusudan Vachaspati. And later on, he came to Vrindavan Dham to take shelter of Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, his uncles. And under Rupa Goswami, he studied the Srimad Bhagavatam. After initiating him, Rupa Goswami engaged Jiva Goswami in the service of Sri Sri Radha Damodar. Now, Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami both were very quick to spot the scholarly abilities of Jiva Goswami. So at that time, Rupa Goswami had written his beautiful work, Nectar of Devotion, which is called as Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So he requested Jiva Goswami to proofread the Nectar of Devotion. And Jiva Goswami was so scholarly, not only did he proofread that, he wrote his own commentary also on that, called as Durgama Sangamani. Similarly, Sanatan Goswami also compiled Sri Vaishnava Toshini, which is Sanatan Goswami's commentary on the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which he gave to Jiva Goswami for again proofreading. Okay. And Sri Jiva Goswami compiled a commentary on that also, which is called as Laghu Vaishnava Toshini. Now similar things happened with Gopal Bhatt Goswami, Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Kashishwar Pandit, Madhu Pandit. all of them were completely captivated by his scholarly abilities. It is considered that Jiva Goswami is the utmost scholar in our sampradaya, Shastric scholar. Now, despite being very so scholarly, Jiva Goswami was very humble. So that's a very deadly combination for bhakti. When I say deadly, I'm talking in a different way, right? Like scholarly as well as humble. So he did a lot of menial services to his beloved uncles. Like for example, he regularly brought water for Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami for their bath. He massaged their heads with oil. He cleaned their ashram, worshipped their deities, and cooked for them, and also corrected the manuscripts. So everything he was doing, menial service, scholarly work, everything, he was very expert at all these things. After Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami's disappearance, Jiva Goswami continued their tradition. He travelled to Agra. Jiva Goswami was a very fiery preacher. Okay, he wanted to cut all upper Siddhanta. He travelled to Agra to debate with the Rajputs. And he was very conscious of social welfare also. It's not that when we become devotees, we become socially, you know, immune. No. He was very conscious of the environment, of how things are happening around him. So, he travelled to Agra to debate with the Rajputs concerning the glories of Ganga and Yamuna. So, he was very attached to both Ganga and Yamuna, but because he was a Rasika devotee, he wanted to establish that Yamuna Nadi is more glorious than the Ganga. Okay. Because Ganga emanates from Lord Krishna's lotus feet. No doubt about this. Ganga is glorious, whereas Yamuna is his very consort. So Yamuna Devi is more glorious than Ganga. Right? So that is what he wanted to establish. Now, so happy was the Mughal emperor at that time with him that he wanted to give him something. He was like, just like, you know, Vaman Dev attracted Bali Maharaj, Jiva Goswami attracted also, you know, this personality, the emperor. So he requested the emperor to issue a farman. Farman means an order, emperor's order, that no living beings will be killed in the precincts of Vraja. No living entities, even cows, no, nobody will be killed in the Vraja Bhumi. As a result of that, the kings will no longer come to hunt anyone. Okay. I believe it was King Akbar, I could be wrong, but I think that is what Jiva Goswami did that. So great acharyas in our lineage, such as Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, Shamananda Pandit, they studied the literatures of the Goswamis under the tutelage of Jiva Goswami. And then that is how the knowledge of Gaudiya Vaishnavism could spread throughout Bengal. Now, being amongst the greatest of scholars of his generation, Srila Jiva Goswami composed many literatures. Like some of them are the Brahma Samhita Tika, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sandhu Tika. Tika means the commentary, which is the Durgama Sangamani, Ujjwal Neelamani, then the Gopal Champu, and main, most importantly, the Shat Sandarbhas, the six Sandarbhas, which is Tattva Sandarbha, Bhagavat Sandarbha, Paramatma Sandarbha, Krishna Sandarbha, Bhakti Sandarbha, and Preeti Sandarbha. Nowadays, I am studying some part of the Preeti Sandarbha. Before going to bed, sometimes I read one verse from Preeti Sandarbha. It is outstanding, the work of Jiva Goswami. So beautiful. Then Laghu Vaishnava Toshini, which is the 10th canto commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, Gopal Tapani Tika. So much of literature this personality has given to all of us. So therefore, on his appearance day, we pray to Srila Jiva Goswami that we also develop depth in our scriptural study. We develop knowledge, not because we can give classes or something like that, but we develop this knowledge so we can go and effectively present Gaudiya Vaishnavism with full pride in the missionary zeal and go and give this message to the whole world today. So we take his blessing also to cultivate the qualities of Jiva Goswami, the humility which he had despite all his achievements, which is very pleasing to Srimati Radharani and Lord Krishna, to Radha Vallabha. So we take the blessings of Srila Jiva Goswami, we take blessings of Lord Vamanadev on this very auspicious day. Lord Vamanadev appearance day ki jai. Srila Jiva Goswami's appearance day ki jai. Samaved Bhaktavrinda ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Jai Nitaya Gaur Premanand.